Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ as we gather on this amazing day, almost like any other day, really. Every day is amazing when you and I have the opportunity to be educated in Christ. If you took a look at the little summary of our service in your worship folder, you'll notice that perhaps you and I are in a very blessed situation, a situation that many don't find themselves in, but a situation that we could often take for granted. The Sunday school, vacation Bible schools, Lutheran elementary school, Lutheran high school right down the road. All kinds of opportunities that you and I have to be educated in Christ, to rejoice in what Christian education is all about. And as you think about all of those things and begin to marvel at what that means, Christian education also tends to make us think about our children, how we educate them, how they grow, the opportunities that we provide for them so that they know who Jesus is and what He has done for them. But on this Christian Education Sunday, you and I are going to broaden that thought just a little bit. We're not going to be thinking just about the children. We'll also have an opportunity to think just a little bit about how even mission work really is Christian education, teaching those about Christ. And as we take a look at the first lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 11, Moses reminds us that we're also going to put a slightly different emphasis on Christian education. Know this, Moses says. Moses is talking to the assembly of Israel as they stand opposite that land they're finally going to get to enter. They have been waiting for years to go into that promised land. They've been roaming around for 40 years waiting to go in. By the time we have Moses speaking to the people in Deuteronomy, we are at the end of that 40 years. They're just about to cross over that Jordan River and take the land that they are about to enter. And as he addresses them, and as he gets them ready to do that, he starts out by saying in verse 2 of our lesson, know this. Deuteronomy literally means second law. You've heard all this before. You heard it in Exodus, you heard it in Leviticus, some of it you've heard in Numbers. Know this. You do. They don't. But they will. Know this. As Moses talks to that crowd of people there gathered at the Jordan River, he looks at a bunch of people who already do. He said in verse 7, know today it is your own eyes that have seen every deed that the Lord your God performed. Know this. You do, he says. You saw it. You know this. He had just gotten done listing all the things that they know because they saw. You know the discipline of the Lord your God. You know what He has done. That discipline that often showed itself in the signs and the wonders that were done in and to Egypt. You think about all those plagues and how they finally broke the will of Pharaoh and he let them go. You know what he did at the Red Sea right after Pharaoh's will was broken and he lets the people go, but then decides, I really shouldn't have done that. I want all my slave labor back. And so he runs after them. And now here you remember being at the Red Sea. You've got the waters in front of you. You've got Pharaoh's army out there behind you. What's going to happen? Well, know this. You do. You watch the waters part. You walk through. Pharaoh's army and his chariots and his horses were all washed away. The army was completely and totally destroyed. As it stands today, Egypt has never bothered you again. Know this. You do. Now granted, remember we're at the 40 years of wandering. We're at the end of that. So the generation that would have been in charge, if you will, during all of that has been busy dying off over the last 40 years. And so many of these people would have probably been children, perhaps teenagers, but would have been there. But that doesn't mean that there's other things that are not a little bit more recent. Know this. You do. You remember what God did in the wilderness. You've had all this time to experience the water coming out of rocks. Every morning you get up and the manna is there. And has it dawned on you yet that the clothing and the shoes that you're wearing hasn't even worn out over these last 40 years? Back to the discipline idea. Remember Dathan and Abiram, those who kind of figured they didn't really need to listen to what God had to say and squirreled some of the plunder from some of their exploits all for themselves. How the earth opened them up, everything that belonged to them, swallowed them up. Know this. You do. And you know who did them. You know that this was the Lord. And now their minds go back to Mount Sinai. Now their minds go back to what Moses surely told them when the Lord introduced himself as the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. The Lord who simply is, I am, with all the changes that have been going on and all the things that have been happening, their Lord never changed. His plans for them never changed. His desire that they would be held safe in His care and brought to the land that He had promised to them never changed. They know who did all of this. The Lord, your God, the God who spoke all of this into existence, the God who has the power to part the Red Sea, the God who has the power to send plague and manna and water and quail and keep clothing from wearing out, the God who has the power to protect and preserve, that's your God. That God of the promise has the power to keep the promise, has the desire to keep the promise. Know this. You do. You're sitting here. You weren't standing at the Jordan River or at Mount Sinai, but you do know this. You look back over your own history and you remember opportunities that you had to rejoice that you know who did all of these things and you know who He is. You've had your days in Sunday school. Perhaps you attended CSJ or a school like it. Maybe you went to Luther High School or a school like it. You've had opportunities for vacation Bible school. You've had opportunities to sit at Jesus' feet here at church and at your table or at home so that you can know this. So that you can say, I do. I do know the Lord my God. But they don't. Notice how Moses said that? Today, know this today, I am not addressing your children who have not known and seen all these things. You do, but they don't. They weren't around. They didn't see it. They didn't hear it. They weren't there for all of these things. And maybe that's why sometimes you and I find ourselves lamenting the world in which we live, and we kind of wonder why things tend to be falling apart. And we wring our hands and we say things to ourselves like, you know, I really remember the days that I had in youth group or pioneers or something like that. Those were kind of exciting days. I really did enjoy those. Our kids should have that opportunity too. I remember confirmation class, and I remember sitting there sweating when the pastor called on me, and I had to recite the books of the Bible, or I had to say the parts of the catechism, or recite that hymn verse or that Bible passage. I remember doing all of that, and I remember learning all of that. My kids really should have that opportunity as well. As you and I think about what our Lord and our God has to say, when He says, know this, but acknowledges the fact that your children didn't know this, so I'm not talking to them at the moment. I'm talking to you. It allows us to perhaps broaden a little bit as you and I think about not just the traditional idea of what Christian education is all about, but also what it means to get the word out to those who could also be said, I know this, but they don't. So know this. You do. They don't. And yet when you see things like that, it brings a smile to our face, and we might even include Lauren in our prayers this evening as we thank God that that gospel has reached her. But a lot of times when you and I think about things like that, it's always, you know, for those folks who are long ways away. It is one of those kind of neat stories that has no direct impact on me. So I took a couple of screenshots of that video to try to bring it a little closer to home. You don't know that guy, probably. Just a talking head. Just somebody whose name appeared on the screen and you saw perhaps the title Chairman of the Wells Home for Board for Home Missions. But if you want to make it just a tad bit more personal, for those of you who remember my oldest daughter Becky, that's her pastor. Yeah, he's in Florida. But now all of a sudden there's a connection. We tend to think of mission work as in long, faraway places, exotic places like Georgia, who is getting excited for the next couple of months instead of dreading the next couple of months like we are. Places that far, far away. And so you saw pictures of that, but you also saw pictures of that. That's Mount Horeb. That's Madison. Or you saw pictures of that. That's the exotic place called Richland Center. There are places all over the place where you and I have opportunities to rejoice in the fact that we know this. You do. They don't. And whether we're talking Christian education as far as what do my children need to know, or just that there are people out there who need to know because they don't know yet what I know. Which is why we are going to be doing what we're doing, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. Which takes you to the third thing that Moses is talking about. Know this. You do. They don't. But they will. They will because of things that we call Christian education. An opportunity in some form or another to get that amazing message out. And part of that happens when you do what Moses says. Be careful or your heart will be deceived and you will turn away and serve other gods and bow down to them. Be careful as you get ready to let them know what they don't already know. Don't be deceived by the fact that because I know, then somehow by osmosis my kids are going to get this. And you maybe go back to the lament of, I remember how great youth group was, and I wish my kids had something like that, and I tend to forget that, well, that happened because my parents made it happen. And all of a sudden, I'm the one that's coming up with all these excuses because I'm busy and I've got things going on and I've got my own career to follow. And besides that, my kids are busy. They're running around. They're doing this, that, and the other thing. They've got ball games or practices. We've got the traveling teams on the weekend. And if they aren't running around, they're probably at work because you got to get money for college somewhere along the way. And all of a sudden, I'm just going to not take the time to make sure that I lead my children to Christ, but perhaps they'll just know it somehow. Don't be deceived by all the distractions that are here in this world. Instead, put these words of mine in your hearts and in your soul and tie them on your wrists as signs and as symbols on your forehead. Put them on your heart. Very literally, plant them, input them into your heart. Don't just lay it there. Dig in, plant it so that it sends down roots and grows. Then it's on your hands. So every time you go to do something, every time your hands are about to go into some sort of action, you get to see Christ and what He's doing. Hang it right there in front of your eyes so that every time you look at something, you're looking through who our Lord and our Savior is. And then they will know this. Teach them to your children by talking about them when you sit in your house and when you travel on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many on the land that the Lord promised to your fathers with an oath, as many as the days that our heavens remain over the earth. Know this. You do. They don't. But they will. Because you will be teaching, not just here, but when you're at home and walking along the road, go to sleep with Jesus, wake up with Jesus, hang them on your walls, tie them on your door frames, make him part of life so that everyone can know this. So what's this? You probably know. It's been implied. Maybe you go back to the very first verse. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord who has never changed, no matter what has been going on in your life. Love the Lord, your God, who has the power and the might to protect and to preserve, to give you what you need for day after day. Love the Lord, your God, who promised you that you are going to spend an eternity in a land, not just over in the Middle East someplace, but in the glories of heaven. Love the Lord, your God, who made sure that he could keep that promise by sending your Lord and your Savior into this world. He's the one who lived for you. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who replaces all of your sin with his perfection. He's the one who paid for all of your guilt so that you can say the same thing you heard Lauren say. I am confident for today. If God gives me tomorrow, so be it. Yesterday is forgiven. Love the Lord your God, who allows you to know this. And because you do, he may put you in contact with some that we may say they don't. But as you and I live, and as we love, and as we share, they will. They will know this, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and in him there is forgiveness. Amen.